It's good to see you all out here today, and looking forward to a good Bible study time this morning. Mrs. Allen's bringing around the handout, the worksheet for you. It says Discerning God's Will on the top of it. Do you all have a copy of that? Yeah. Are we all set, ready to go? Okay. Well, let's start with prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on our time this morning, and then we'll take a look at some scriptures. I do plan to ask you to turn to several scriptures this morning in your Bible. Sometimes we do that, sometimes we don't. It is a Bible study hour. So I think that's fair. I'm just letting you know. If you have a copy of the Bible with you today, we'll look at several good verses. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to gather together around your word, to be able to open up a Bible and to read verses and to study. We're thankful for that. We do pray you'd bless this time, guide us today as we look at this important topic. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're talking about finding God's will today. It's a blessing to realize God created each and every one of us. And before we were ever even born, God knew what His desire, what His plan was for us. He has that blueprint, so to speak, for our lives. And what we want to do with our lives is to make choices in line with God's will. And by God's grace, to allow our desires to line up with God's desires. It's really a remarkable thing when you pause and consider and meditate that God has created each and every one of us. In that sense, He has ownership over us and over our lives. And yet He gives us the ability to choose. He allows us to make choices each and every day. Will we follow what He wants for our lives, or will we do simply what we want to do? And we bring honor and glory to God when we, as His creation, choose to follow His plan. Well, I think many of us know that. A well-known evangelist said, success is finding God's will and doing it. Right on the top of your page, you can see that quote written out for you. Well, that's good. And that's our aim, but how are we to find God's will? Sometimes it can be challenging. I heard this story, and I believe this is a true story. I believe this actually happened. So let me share this story with you regarding sometimes how difficult it may be to find God's will. We want God's will for our life, but sometimes we have a little bit of our own desires mixed in. You know what I mean? And so it can be difficult to discern and separate between what I want and what God wants. So I heard this story told. There was a young man who was in college, and he had met a nice girl. And he was interested in this girl, and he thought, maybe this could lead to a long-term relationship and marriage. Maybe she could be the right one for him. So he was praying about it. He was a Christian young man, and he wanted God's will for his life. And he had read the Bible, so he knew from reading the Old Testament that Gideon put out a fleece. You remember that story? Gideon wanted confirmation of God's will for him. Should I really go and fight against those Midianites? I'm not sure. He put out a fleece. And so this young man thought, that's what I'll do. I'll take a towel and I'll put it out on the street. And I'll pray. If the towel is wet in the morning, then I'll know that God wants me to marry this girl. But if it's dry, then I'll know that God does not want me to marry this girl, and I better break it off. Now, again, I heard this story, and I believe this actually happened. So he put the towel out on the street, and he liked the girl, and he prayed, and then he woke up the next morning, and he looked out his window, and he saw that it had rained overnight. And so he was very happy. He wanted the towel to be wet, you know, and so he ran down out the front door, and he looked, and where his towel was out on the street, somebody had parked a car on top of the towel, and so it was actually dry. Wow. Well, that seems like maybe not an ideal way to find God's will. Is there any other resources than that we could turn to? The Word of God. Well, I appreciate it. That's a good answer. That's what we're going to do this morning. We'll look at some good scriptures here. Preparations. Number one, preparations for discerning God's will. Well, each and every day, we do want to follow the Lord and do what He wants us to do. So let's read a few scriptures. Number one, preparations. You might want to pencil this in. This is what I am, as far as what I need to be as a person in order to really be able to listen to God's voice and discern what He's saying to me and how He's guiding me. What I am, preparations for discerning God's will. Now, could I ask you, one of you ladies, could you find 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14? Would anybody here be willing to read that out for us? Okay.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned.
All right. And would you mind, in that very chapter, would you mind just scanning down to the end of the chapter and if you can kind of guess what I'm thinking of, the final phrase of the chapter, what does that say? I'm sorry, that's a little confusing. The very end of that passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. But we have the mind of Christ. Now, that's a great blessing to think of. Paul, writing to his Christian friends, he said, you know, you can't discern God's will and God's perspectives on life without a spiritual quickening within you. And so the first point here, we're going to write in letter A, salvation. Salvation. Those who know the Lord personally as their Savior, well, there are a great many blessings that come with salvation. We look forward to a home in heaven. And we praise the Lord for all his many provisions for us here in this life. But among many other things, we have a personal relationship with him. When we're talking about discerning God's will, it's not just mathematics. It's not just logic we're talking about. It's part of a relationship with God. And wouldn't you want to walk with God and to know him better and better each day? Discerning God's will, maybe sometimes, like the young fellow with the towel, maybe sometimes it seems hard to us. You know, I want to do what I want to do, but, you know, I'll force myself to do what God wants me to do. No, it's God's will, let's remind ourselves, it is the best thing. It is the best place that you could possibly be. And sometimes it may seem to be a challenge. It might seem to contradict what we want. Yes, I would grant you that, but salvation is point number one here. We need to know God personally. So I ask you, ladies, first of all, I ask you today, do you know the Lord as your Savior? Has there been a time that you have placed your complete dependence upon Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness of sins and for eternal salvation? And that's very important. That's the most important decision that you could ever make in your entire life. What are you depending upon for forgiveness from sins and for salvation? Are you depending upon Jesus Christ alone? But along with forgiveness of sins and along with an eternal home in heaven, we have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ by means of our salvation. When we put our faith and confidence upon him, we're relying upon him for our eternal destiny. Well, don't you think we can rely upon him for what we're going to do in our personal plans in this life and in this world? If God can save your eternal soul, don't you think he can guide and direct and protect you in this life? And even when it comes down to the routine prayers that we pray so often, Lord, I really don't know. Should I go here or should I go there? I'm not sure. My schedule today, it's a little overwhelming. I'm not sure how to make it and how to manage. Well, if God can handle the responsibility of your eternal destiny, if you can entrust that in God's hands, then certainly you can entrust your day-to-day decisions, can't you? You can give that to God. So salvation is step number one. It's probably not a surprise to you that that's the very first point in this entire series of points, salvation. You do need to know God in order to know God's will. But let's move quickly on to point number B. And could I ask someone to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3 for me, please? Yes, ma'am. All right, thank you. So letter B, excuse me a second. Okay, letter B, we are going to write in the word knowledge here. Knowledge. And that verse, 1 Thessalonians 4:3, the sanctification means being set apart to God. Well, in that verse, we open up a page in the Bible and we read a chapter and a verse that says, this is the will of God. We recognize by opening God's Word, as somebody commented earlier, isn't there any better resource for finding God's will? Yes, there is. God has given us His Word. If you have a Bible, would you just look at it? Just take a moment with me to look at what you have there. It's amazing that you have a copy of God's Word in your own language so readily available to you. Does anyone here know how many books are contained in the Bible? How many individual books do you know? 66 books in this Bible. Does anybody here know how many chapters are found in the Bible? Now, the chapter divisions were not original when the text was written out, but I'm illustrating a point here. Do you know how many chapters are found in the Bible? 66 books, how many chapters? Anybody? 1,189 chapters in the Bible. How many verses? It's around 31,000 verses in the Bible. Think with me for a moment. Do you think God is trying to keep His will a secret? Sometimes we view it that way. The will of God is something vague and mysterious. It is not, I'm telling you. We've got a whole entire Bible full of verses and principles, sometimes very, very direct. Do this, don't do that. For example, the verse that was just read, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3, a great example of this point. Scripture knowledge helps us to know what is God's will, what we should do and what we should not do. And so, ladies, I'm just telling you, being in God's Word, the knowledge that comes from being in God's Word of what is right and what is wrong, do you not realize that the world in which we are living today is doing its utmost to confuse the line of separation between right and wrong? And people living in the world today have no idea that there even is such a thing as right and wrong. We're talking about God's will. To somebody who, letter A, doesn't know the Lord, and letter B, doesn't know the Bible, what we're talking about in this hour right now in this room would seem very, very foreign. You mean there is such a thing as right and wrong? You mean there is such a thing as a divine will and purpose for my life? That's something that even exists? And I just have to encourage you, have you been in God's Word today? Have you taken a moment to open up a Bible and to read a portion? Is this too basic for you? I'm telling you, this is discerning God's will. You cannot skip letter A and you cannot skip letter B. You cannot go around the Bible to find God's will. Do you see what I'm saying? It's right there, 66 books full of indications about who God is and how He thinks and His perspectives and principles for human living. Letter C, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. And so many things are said in that verse, just like the previous couple of verses we've read. We're going to put this one word down, dedication. Dedication. Present your body, that is your humanity, your mortal life that you're living here before we step into eternity, and it's a whole different phase of life. Well, we have these brief years here on earth, and can you take a moment right now, ladies, to recalibrate your perspective on life? I don't know about you. I can't speak for you. Maybe I'm the only person in the room who sometimes get overwhelmed with daily details, and sometimes the little frustrations become so big in my mind, it seems that that's what life is all about. I can't believe the car won't start again. Things like that, oh no, it's the biggest concern in the world. Can we take a moment to think about eternity? We're here on this earth for a brief period of time. I don't know how long I've got. I don't know how long you have. 60, 70, 80 years. I don't know how long it might be. It doesn't matter. It's a brief period of time in comparison to eternity. And when we enter eternity, there's some things we will never again have an opportunity to do. You never again have an opportunity to live this life here in this world. You never again have an opportunity to lead a soul to Christ when you step into eternity. Never again will you have an opportunity to sacrifice or suffer for the Lord when you enter heaven. Do you understand me? The things that in this world sometimes seem like, I wish God would get me out of this pain and suffering. Well, you won't have an opportunity to do that anymore. There's some things that we need to make an investment while we have a chance here in this life. And what we're talking about is dedication. Romans chapter 12, this body that you have, and we're all responsible for our own individual person. This body that you have, you give it to God. And what does that have to do with discerning God's will? Remember, that's the topic for today. It's not really a challenge about surrender today, but I've had a lot of opportunities to work with young people, and I realize I'm speaking to mature individuals, adult people in this room, but talking to young people a lot who are at a phase of life, either high school or college, where discerning God's will is very much on their mind. Where do I go next? What's the next step? And I found this, it's really, really hard to discern God's will clearly when you're not surrendered to God. When you're saying to God, I would love for you to tell me what you want to do in order that I can decide whether or not I want to do it. And it's really interesting to me how vague and mysterious God's future will seems to young people when they're not prepared to say to God, what you want me to do, I will do it. And it's also remarkable to me how quickly God's will for future steps becomes clear when folks are willing to say, God, what you want me to do, I'll do it. I may not immediately see it. I may not immediately think it's great and positive. I might think it's challenging and hard, sure. But God, what you want me to do, I will do it. And it's amazing how that clears the fog. So we've got to ask ourselves, okay, wherever we are in life, whatever our station, position, age is in life right now, could I really say, honestly, I'm dedicated to God? What God wants for me is what I want, and what he tells me I will do. And it's interesting how that clears things up when we can come to that point of decision. I really am surrendered to God. What he wants is best for me, and I believe that. Number C, dedication. That, I believe it's a big deal. I don't know how else to say it. It's a big deal in discerning God's will. Are you really dedicated? And then letter D, well, we got to move along here and make some good use of the time. Proverbs 4:7. Could somebody read that verse for me, please? There you go. Proverbs 4:7. You've probably heard that verse before. Wisdom is the principal thing. And so letter D, we'll write that word in there. Wisdom. Wisdom. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs tells us, is the beginning of wisdom. And we've covered some of those aspects. Letter A, B, and C. In a certain way, I think you could categorize those as the fear of the Lord, understanding that God is God, and before him I am nothing, but I'm going to dedicate myself completely to him, salvation and surrender, and open up his word and understand that his Bible that he's given me really is the direction for life. But then letter D, wisdom, is another step. Remember, we're talking about under Roman numeral 1, what I am as a person. Am I a wise person? Well, wisdom, simply put, is the proper application of Bible knowledge. So in my life, day by day, I grow, by God's grace, I grow in wisdom. I take some verse of scripture that I've read before and I understand some principle of the Bible. I've heard it before and I put it into practice in my life. That's how wisdom is developed. Wisdom is developed by experience. Somebody was kind of joking about that and said, you know, wisdom comes from experience, and experience comes from lack of wisdom. So, you know, you make mistakes, and then you learn, and then you grow, and you grow in wisdom. Here's some good news. You can borrow wisdom. Did you know that? You can borrow wisdom. Now, other people, maybe more experienced than yourself, maybe even older than yourself. They've been through it before. You can ask. You can borrow wisdom. I like that. Maybe if we're on the younger side of life, we can borrow wisdom from those who have already been around the block a couple of times. So that's letter D, wisdom, preparing ourselves to discern God's will. That's important. And then letter E, 1 Corinthians 12:18. What does that say? 1 Corinthians 12:18. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so we have here, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a discussion of what we usually call spiritual gifts. Each one of us who's a Christian person is the member, a part of the body of Christ. And we have our own responsibilities. We have our gifting within the church body. And I'm going to put it this way, letter E, opportunity. There's different words we maybe could use here. You could just say gifting. You could say something like that. You could say involvement. But that to me is the key word, be involved. We've heard some good preaching here at Falls Baptist Church recently on 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and other portions in 1 Corinthians, the preacher encouraging us to be involved and get involved. You know, if you're saved, you should be involved. You should be involved in your church. You should be doing things. And even this past Sunday morning. Heard some good encouragement on that. Every Christian person is meant to be a minister and to serve God. So get involved. You want to know what God's will is? Well, start moving. I heard somebody explain it like this. It's a lot easier to steer a car that's in motion than to steer a parked car. You can't steer a parked car. Have you ever tried to balance on a bicycle that's not moving? Isn't that interesting? A lot easier. Maybe somebody here has ridden a motorcycle before. A lot easier to balance when it's in motion. It's moving forward. And it's probably some principle of physics that I couldn't explain to you, but the motion makes it a lot easier. Yeah, you, as soon as you come to a stop, well, it's going to tip. And sure, so God can steer your life much more easily when you're in motion and seeking to serve Him rather than just sitting still and waiting for God to send you somehow a message from the clouds to tell you to get up off the couch and go do something. No, get involved. Get involved. So that's really what letter E is all about. And that's all summing up who I am as a person. I'm prepared to hear God's voice and to follow God's direction if I am saved. Number letter A, if I am in the Bible. Letter B, letter C, if I'm surrendered. Letter D, if I am applying actively what I know about God and and His word. Letter E, if I'm getting involved in particular in church, the ministries of the church. Now, number two, principles for discerning God's will. I'll tell you this as I go through this point quickly. For the table discussion time today, what I'm going to leave with you is going to be Roman numeral 3, pitfalls in discerning God's will. And so I'd like for you to discuss how we sometimes can go astray. And what I've noted on my own paper here is that the pitfalls very often are the opposite of or the misapplication of the points in Roman numeral 2. So let's talk about that. Just keep that in mind. I'm just mentioning that in passing so you can have it in mind as we talk through some principles for discerning God's will. And I would characterize Roman numeral 2 more as what I do. So number one is who I am as a person. Am I prepared to hear God's voice and follow His leading? Roman numeral 2, this is more like practical steps of application, starting with letter A, scriptural standards. Scriptural standards, principles for discerning God's will. Scriptural standards, as we've noted, God has given us so clearly in His word principles to follow, and there will always be a verse. That's what I'm trying to say next to letter A. You want to follow God's will, there will always be a verse. Sometimes it's not, how would I say, it's not a clear directive necessarily. Let's say, for example, you need to purchase a car, and you want to know whether to buy the Toyota or the Honda. Well, you're not going to find a Bible verse that gives you an explicit directive about the Toyota versus the Honda, but you're going to find some principles in God's word about responsibility, about money management, etc. There will always be some Bible verse that applies. I want to read a scripture to you real quick here. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, unto our practical everyday life here in this world, and godliness, our spiritual development and walk, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And if your aim is to dedicate your life to God, there will always be some kind of scripture direction. Scriptural standards, 2A. Now, letter B, 2B, spiritual guidance. Spiritual guidance. Romans chapter 8 says, for as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Spiritual guidance. And there will be, how would I interpret this? There will be a kind of a burden that God gives. It will be a burden for others. It will be a burden for service. I'm mentioning that because of what I said earlier. Spiritual guidance is sometimes something that people will refer to when they're about to make a decision that's actually contrary to God's word. You say, does that ever happen? It absolutely does. People make a decision, it's contrary to God's word, and if anyone ever talks to them about it, they'll say, well, you know, I was praying about it, and I just have this spiritual sense. Okay, A spiritual guidance is something that will come from the Holy Spirit. It will be in accordance with God's word. And I'm just giving you this because this is sometimes, under Roman numeral 3, this is sometimes a pitfall. People will interpret their own passions and interests as spiritual guidance, may not necessarily be. So a leading from the Holy Spirit toward God's will is going to have something to do with a burden for others and a burden for service. As a general rule. Just a tip, just a guideline. Spiritual guidance, though, is part of it. God will guide. He will lead personally. Letter C, we cannot ignore mature counsel. Discerning God's will is not just one of these things. It's a combination. Mature counsel. Do you recall how I told you? You can borrow wisdom, and you should. You definitely should. Some big decision in life, you should take the advice of Scripture and find a multitude of counselors. There's safety there. Seek out somebody with experience. Seek out somebody with that you know has a sense of wisdom in God's Word. Mature counsel is important. Let me read a quote from George Mueller here. George Mueller, you've probably heard of him. Remembered as a man of faith, he prayed in literally millions of dollars of support without asking for it, and founded multiple orphanages in Bristol, England years ago. And he said this, "When I seek for the will of God in any matter, whether large or small," he said, "I follow these guidelines. Number one, I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter." So George Mueller, I'm just giving you a quote from him. He said, first and foremost, I need to bring my heart into a place where my own passions and desires are not directing the decision, that I can freely pray to God and say, "Thy will be done." Number two, having done this, I do not leave the result to feeling or impression. If I do so, I make myself liable to great delusions. So he's in prayer, and he's able to say to God, "I am completely dedicated. What you want is what I want. But I'm not just relying upon some whim or some personal interest one direction or another. I can leave myself open to delusion if that's my position." So what then do you do, Mr. Mueller? Number three, I seek the will of the Spirit through or in connection with the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit is given to us, as Jesus said, to do what? Guide us into all truth. So it isn't just vague impressions. That might be the sense that you have talking about the leading of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides us into truth. And so in connection with the Word of God, he says this, I'm quoting, "The Spirit and the Word must be combined." This is interesting. Not my words, but his. He says, "If I look to the Spirit alone without the Word, I lay myself open to delusion also. If the Holy Spirit guides us at all, he will do it according to the Scriptures and never contrary to them." Now, number four, George Mueller said, "Next, I take into account providential circumstances. These sometimes plainly indicate God's will in connection with his word and the Spirit." And yes, it is true that God works in the affairs of this world to open doors and close doors. That is events. That is circumstances. So this is not point number one that George Mueller started with. It's point number four, as a matter of fact. But having fully dedicated his heart to God and having sought the direction of the Holy Spirit through the word of God, he takes into account what he perceives God is doing in this world around him. Number five, I ask God in prayer to reveal his will to me aright. And then number six, summing up, thus, through prayer to God, the study of the word and reflection, I come to a deliberate judgment according to the best of my ability and knowledge. And if my mind is thus at peace and continues so after two or three petitions, I proceed accordingly. That's interesting. That's his quote, end quote. I'm just going to make a comment here. That's interesting to me because sometimes I've found in my life when I pray to the Lord and claim the scripture in James, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God and ask for wisdom. And then sometimes I sense a leading of the Lord, but I still doubt and I have difficulty getting active and actually following up. And George Mueller said, if I followed this procedure and I pray about it two or three times and my mind's at rest and at peace, I go ahead and proceed. And sometimes for me, that's a difficulty. I'm praying about it, and I'm still not sure, and I'm still praying about it, and still praying about it. No, you have to believe that God's going to give direction if you've asked for it. And put your dependence upon that truth, and go ahead and get busy. And trust that God's going to redirect. If you are completely... Okay, let me put it like this. You are a child of God. If you put yourself in God's hands, and you say, God, to the best of my knowledge, I'm doing what you want, and just... redirect me. I have no personal ambition or passion in this matter. If this isn't what you want me to do, he'll keep you safe. He's more interested in protecting your life than you are. You're his child. And right now, as I'm describing this, I'm thinking of a personal experience about 8 years ago. It was such an interesting couple of months when I had to make a decision on behalf not only of myself, but my wife and my kids and our family, and I was just kind of in turmoil. Wow, is this the right thing or not? And of course, I was praying about it and had to come to a place where I said, well, God's going to take care of us. I've prayed about it. We just need to go ahead and do what we need to do and trust. And now looking back on it, it was absolutely the right decision, and God took care of us, etc. But at that point in my life, I needed to just believe. I've prayed for wisdom. Now I got to get busy. I got to get moving. Got to do what needs to be done and take God at his word. So that's the advice from George Mueller. Let's finish up a couple more steps here. Mature counsel, letter C. Letter D, future ramifications. Future ramifications. I don't have time to fill this out, but ladies, do you realize that some people make decisions without thinking about future ramifications? And sometimes that clarifies the present day decision remarkably when this is really a sign of maturity versus immaturity, is making a decision in light of what will happen three steps from now. The immature, a young child makes a decision based on what I want right now in the next 5 minutes. There's a study that was done. You probably heard of this. A study that was done. Some young kids were offered a piece of candy now or three pieces of candy later. It's something like that. I'm totally misquoting the deal, but most of them said, I'll take the candy now. But you could get three pieces later. I don't care. I want the candy now. And so that's a sign of immaturity. I can't think days or weeks in advance when I make a decision today. I can't see what the outcome will be and how one domino will fall into another and how the dominoes will fall down. So future ramifications, we won't say any more about that, but we do have to make today's decisions in light of the future, how that will lead us. The example of Lot is given in the Old Testament. Do you remember Lot, who was described as pitching his tent toward Sodom? He didn't right away pick up and move his family into the city of Sodom, described as a very, very wicked community. He didn't do that. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. He just made a decision to go one step that way, without regard to where he was going to end up. And pretty soon he ended up living in Sodom as part of the community and even apparently a respected elder in that city. How did he get there? Well, he started off by taking one small step. Future ramifications. And number E, letter E, divine circumstances. Divine circumstances. We read the quote from George Mueller as he considered that God's providentially opening doors and providentially closing doors, the circumstances of this life, as long as we are surrendered in heart and as long as we are following actual scripture principles without any personal ambition for what we want, divine circumstances do lead us. Okay, we'll stop right there. Number three, I'm going to leave it to you. What are some of the pitfalls you might have experienced in your life, or maybe you've observed in others? This is the kind of lesson, as we conclude, that is good for each and every one of us today as we're seeking to discern God's will where we're living right now. But I'll tell you this as well. God will probably bring somebody into your life who needs one or two of these points that you can offer some advice and counsel to, somebody who's trying to discern God's will and is asking you a question. I'm not sure what to do. Is it letter A? Is it letter B? I don't know. And you can give some of this scriptural advice. We've given you some good Bible verses there that are typed out on the page a couple of others that we mentioned that are not typed out on the page. But now I'll leave it to you. Pitfalls in discerning God's will. As I commented earlier, sometimes that could be a misdirection of the points that we've already described in a positive way, or maybe the opposite of some of those points that we gave. So, all right, that's the lesson. Thanks for coming. Thanks for your attention.